Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on Monday's Montana Talks, but more importantly, we want to hear what you want to talk about. Phone lines are open here for the show, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. I want to talk about the Blue Angels and the blue-haired protesters in Seattle. Plus, I want to talk more about this VACOM grand opening in Lewistown and several other Montana topics. But what do you want to talk about? We already got a caller on the phone line, so let's start with her call. Frances in Big Fork, listening to KJJR. What's going on, Frances? Thanks for the call.
Well, I just didn't know if you knew about the great new deal that Trump did with the EU.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us about it. What stood out to you?
Well, I guess he dropped the tariffs from 30% down to 15%, and they agreed with it, and so everything's going good now.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I did see that one in a Fox News radio report. Let me see here. I'll go through a rundown for our listeners here in a second. But, you know, isn't it funny, Francis? There are some people out there who claim to hate tariffs, but the reality is they don't hate tariffs. If they hated tariffs, they would be fighting to get these other countries to eliminate their tariffs, right? But they don't hate tariffs. They just hate it when we give reciprocal tariffs.
Well, you know, they just hate anything Trump does. You might as well say that. Or anything us Republicans do. And we got to do praying, too, for Wilson. He's a great guy, and Amy Eddy is horrible.
She's a far-left judge. Yeah, you've seen her there in the Flathead. And Judge Dan Wilson fought for freedom, ruled for freedom when it really mattered during that COVID-19 craziness. Your point about... they're just anti-Trump. That really is what kind of defines the Democrat Party right now. Whatever Trump does, it doesn't matter how good it is. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's something they would have supported before. They are just anti-Trump, no matter what.
That's right. They hate Trump. And they've been brainwashed like a bunch of sheep being led for their slaughter. And that's so sad that especially the younger people, not the real young ones, they're getting smarter, but the middle group, and they... just seem to be dumber than a stick.
Yeah, Gen Z, the youth. I don't know if you saw Charlie Kirk on Fox and Friends over the weekend. He was incredible, co-hosting Fox and Friends with Rachel Campos Duffy. If you missed it, I'll play a couple of highlights here later in the hour. But yeah, the Democrats did a big event where they were trying to reach out to Generation Z, to the, you know, the younger people, as Francis would describe them there. And they had some guy show up with a furry outfit on, wearing a panda head. They were, my pronouns are blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares about your stupid pronouns anymore. Anyway, so they're still lost in the sauce. It's just whatever they can do that's the opposite of Trump is what they're doing, and it's not working out for them either, is it?
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, somebody got offended. He must be from Seattle. Must be from Seattle. Although, then again, now that I just said he must be from Seattle, he, the guy that got offended about, you know, me calling out Seattle for how off the deep end Seattle has gotten, he'd probably get mad because apparently maybe he doesn't go by the he, him pronouns or whatever. Yeah, I heard about it. Everybody was asking us last week if we had heard about this stupid billboard by these wackos in Seattle protesting the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. Did you guys see the billboard? You can see a Fox TV news report in Seattle, like Fox 13 Seattle covered these wackos that put up a billboard trashing the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. I put a headline on our Montana Talks website right now. It says, thankfully, Montana is not like Seattle. I wonder, though, so I didn't bring this story up last week because part of me was like, man, I don't want to give these nut jobs more publicity because that's what these far-left wackos want, is more publicity. But on the other hand, I also think they need to be called out for, because look at how crazy Seattle is getting. Seattle is being destroyed by these left-wing activists. I passed through Seattle back, what year was it? We were coming back from the Cowboy Christmas during the National Finals Rodeo down in Las Vegas, and we had a really long layover in Seattle. And this was back when they were still doing the stupid COVID stuff. And Seattle was crazy. I mean, so, of course, they all had their masks on. Many of them still wear their masks today while they're out attacking ICE and attacking law enforcement still. They're still wearing their stupid COVID masks because they just have to know how crazy they are. You just have to know that they don't like Trump, so that's why they still wear the stupid COVID mask, right? So we had a few hours to kill. So we hop on the little train thing that you can get at the SeaTac airport and took it north, you know, down to Pike's Market, right? Which, you know, has always been one of the coolest, most beautiful places in Seattle. I've only been to Seattle a couple of times. I have zero desire to go back there because it's just you can just see the hate in some of those people. I've joked about Portland, Oregon. You know, Portland, Oregon in the late 90s was cool, right? You'd go to the farmer's market, and the nice hippies would be there banging their bongo drums. And, you know, you knew they were crazy. You know, they had some crazy political views. But they were nice, and it was a farmer's market, so who for... The nice hippies from the 90s turned into a bunch of angry thugs that we see today dominating places like Portland and Seattle. But anyway, so we get into, you know, the Pike's Market area. Tried to go into a restaurant for lunch. And they literally asked us to show them our vaccine passport. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Needless to say, we did not have lunch at that lunch counter. And then you remember during that same time period, this is when in New York City, at bigger numbers than the white population, black people, Hispanic people, minority populations were being turned away from lunch counters in New York City at higher rates than white people were. And I mean, this was happening in American cities in 2020 and in 2021 because of these far-left wackos that have taken over American cities like Seattle and New York City. But anyway, these are the people that are now protesting the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. I wondered, so Friday at the very end of the show, we got a great surprise phone call from Jerry Schillinger, Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle, and he was calling in because he was on the road to Lewistown for this big VACOM announcement, you know, a German engineering firm opening up shop in Lewistown, Montana. They're planning an estimated $90 million investment by 2030. They expect to eventually create up to 500 good-paying Montana jobs. And I think the Seattle reference came from this Blue Angels story that caught my eye last week, but I didn't mention on the show last week. When I was talking with Jerry Schillinger, I wanted to emphasize that these jobs, well, here you go. And the other thing is, you know, these are like engineering type jobs. So, you know, that attracts kind of more of your Montana lifestyle folks. You know, you're not bringing in some mask wearing Seattleite, right? You know, you get what I'm putting down here, right?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, Aaron, there isn't an engineering school in the country that actually trains engineers to do what VACOM needs them. So they'll hire engineers, but then they train them for the specific technology that they have, which is, I think you might have mentioned, integral to the manufacture of computer chips. So this is a huge thing that actually President Trump started back in his first term of bringing the chip manufacturing industry to America so we're not vulnerable to countries like the communist Chinese and things like that. So it's a really a big deal and perhaps an opportunity for, say, like Montana State University or one of our universities to broaden their educational offerings to cater to people just like Volcom to train engineers for technology that is coming right here to our state today.
Yeah, so in other words, like, let's just hope that these aren't a bunch of mask-wearing, protesting Seattleites that moved to town. We don't want you here. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, so these far-left activists actually put up a billboard in Seattle protesting the Blue Angels. Too loud, war trauma, pollution. They have no problem with the seafare taking place in Seattle. They just don't want the great men and women of the U.S. military to be featured there. What a bunch of clowns.
Securing America.
The president's nominee to become the next chief of naval operations, Admiral Darrell Caudill, recently appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee, which will consider his nomination, where the admiral outlined his underlying principle for the Navy.
I view this nomination as a solemn opportunity to ensure our nation's maritime dominance is never surpassed by competitors or adversaries.
But Admiral Caudill admits there are challenges, especially from the Chinese, and the Navy has to both meet that challenge while still maintaining current standards.
Our maritime fighting forces must continue to be lethal, resilient, agile, and globally present, capable of deterring conflict and, when called upon, achieving decisive victory.
If confirmed, Caudill would replace Admiral Lisa Franchetti, who was fired as Chief of Naval Operations shortly after President Trump took office. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News. Don't just...
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA's Charlie Kirk. Yeah, I was driving a carload full of kids out to the lake on Saturday and luckily got to listen in to Charlie Kirk guest hosting Fox and Friends. And it reminded me, he talked about the three M's that he is promoting with young people on college campuses all across the country. The three M's he's promoting is marriage, mating, and mortgages. Marriage, mating, and mortgages. And he's encouraging kids to just abandon this constant partying lifestyle that unfortunately has been so much a big part of our culture, right? I think we'd all agree on that one. You know, guilty as charged, right? How much of our time did we waste, you know, partying in college or in your 20s or whatever? And now we have this demographic problem facing America. But when I was listening to what Charlie Kirk had to say, and this ties in with kind of what Francis and Big Fork said about young people and Generation Z moving away from the left, moving away from the Democrat Party, and turning to Trump, turning to Turning Point USA, for example. I saw a post several days ago, so I went to pull it up here. Danny Tenenbaum is actually a former Democrat legislator from Missoula, but he's been doing some interesting things. He's been partnering with Republicans on housing reform. He tweeted, he did a post on X a couple of days ago about the need for one-click cancellations. You know how you sign up for something online, you know, a subscription to this or a subscription to that, and you know, one click and you can sign up for it, but then it takes 50 clicks and 50 phone calls to unsign up from something. Well, he's got an idea. Let's do one. If you can one click sign up for something, you should be able to one click unsign up for something. And I saw he was posting about that. Ellie Boldman, a Democrat state senator from Missoula, she says, hey, great idea. I'll carry that bill and we'll get Republicans that will support that as well. And I think she's right. But anyway, I went back to July 24th. He posted this, you know, when you listen to Charlie Kirk, you know, talking about not just the demographic crisis facing America, but really Generation Z turning away from, you know, what the 60s crowd had promoted. Look at what Danny Tenenbaum shared. He says, a decade ago, demographers predicted that Montana would have about 70,000 kids under five in 2024. Over the years, that number fell and fell. The current estimate is 56,612. By contrast, every other age group is rising. Not good, he says. And that's a good point. I think that's something where Republicans and Democrats can agree. Look, we have got a demographic problem facing the state of Montana. You wouldn't think so because you'd look at the explosive growth in Bozeman and Kalispell and Missoula and Billings. You'd say, well, what do you mean we got a demographic problem? Yeah, we're not having enough young families and kids. And so that's it's a demographic problem facing the state of Montana. That's why, you know, when we were talking with Representative Jerry Schillinger on Friday, you know, he talked about why he believes that this VACOM announcement, this $90 million investment by 2030 into Lewistown is key because so many small rural towns in Montana are losing population. And Pratt, there was a time where they were expecting that very thing, and that very thing was happening in places like Fergus County. And so that's why we need these types of opportunities in more rural parts of Montana. And like I say, hopefully we don't bring the COVID mask wearing, purple hair, ice protesting Seattleites in with it, with the different types of engineering jobs. Anyway, speaking of Lewistown, let's take you to Lewistown. We've got Diane on the phone lines, and the phone number for you, 406-294-0970. Diane, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I came here from Washington State. I'm not originally from Washington State, so you can't blame that on me. So anyway,
you get a pass. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Okay. That's the T-shirt in Lewistown today. Yeah.
I just want you to know I lived in the Olympia area. I tell you, Seattle has nothing on Olympia. Those people were strange. They are beyond strange. And they are definitely anti-military, even with Joint Base Lewis-McChord up the way. During the Lake Fair in July, at 1 year, they always had military ships come in from different countries and all. And 1 year, the USS Olympia, a submarine, nuclear submarine, wanted to come in, and they refused it. Here in Olympia was the capital of Washington. They just refused it because they didn't want anything to do with anything nuclear. And they tried to get the two cities that grew around Olympia, Lacey and Tumwater, to agree to not have any contact with companies that deal with nuclear stuff. And once they finished laughing at them, they said no. But they were anti-military. They would try to block the port when, like, the Humvees were coming in and out and everything. It was just amazing. But on the second thing, too, I just want to thank you for your show, always letting Lewistown know what the hell's going on in this town. Because we did not hear about the film that The Real Yellowstone until I heard it on the radio on your show.
Oh, cool.
And then with VACOM, there's nothing in the newspaper, the radio, nothing, until Mr. Schillinger was talking about it. Did not hear a thing about it. And so I just want to thank you for always letting me know what's going on in this town.
Oh, well, you're too good. Well, I think on the Real Yellowstone show, you know, I consider Tom Opry a friend. I've gotten to meet him and his wife, Olivia. They're both incredible sportsmen, and they love our farmers and ranchers, and they live in the Flathead. And in fact, I was down at SCI, Safari Club International, when I think his wife either just got the recognition or got it that SCI, I can't remember, but she is actually, your name's Diane. She is one of the Dianas of Safari Club, which is like the ultimate huntress. There's only a handful of them, and you have to check all these. You have to get all these animals in all these different ways. She is one of the Dianas of SCI, so they're just a remarkable couple. And so thankfully, Tom had reached out to me, and I had, you know, I mentioned I did a story for our Montana Talks website about a month prior, and then thankfully that started picking up steam and the word started getting out. But yeah, that was crazy. Like, They had a 200-person theater to show that film in Lewistown, and they had to last minute put together another movie theater so that 200 more people could watch the thing practically. Yeah. So that's crazy.
Fascinating. My friend and I, we got there early because we knew, you know, it'd probably be crowded. And even a half hour before the show, the lobby was so crowded you couldn't even hear yourself talk. I mean, it was just amazing. And actually, I was talking to the Mr. Oakley, and I didn't realize it was him. I was just asking him something because he'd come in and this and stuff. And that's when I found out that, you know, who he was. Very nice man.
Yeah.
And And then actually, no offense, because I always listen to your show. I usually don't listen to the one with Thomas Schultz because you all come on the same time. But he did mention that he was going to be on Mr. Schultz's show.
So yeah, I think they had him on the following Monday, which is good. And yeah, because this is something where everybody should be, you know, all about supporting films like this. I'm really pleased to see now that our friend Taylor is actually going to be helping to co-host the screening for the film The Real Yellowstone at the Lockwood Auditorium. So for everybody in the Billings area, that's going to be this coming Sunday. So if you want to see what everybody was buzzing about in Lewistown, go check out that one. No, but that's the beauty of Montana broadcasters is, hey, when it comes to Montana, we're all on the same team, you know, and supporting our farmers and ranchers and things like that. Back to this whole Seattle thing. This Seattle story, I think I offended a guy in Bozeman. He must be from Seattle because I did the story about how they're protesting the Blue Angels in Seattle. And I said, thankfully, Montana is not like Seattle. And I talked about how Seattle has just gone off the deep end and how hateful people were there, especially during COVID-19. And this guy got all offended by that. And I was like, oh, you must be from Seattle. But we heard the same thing from the guys. So the exciting thing is the Blue Angels are coming back to Montana next year, America's 250th birthday. And the Blue Angels are coming back to Montana for the Yellowstone International Air Show. And a big reason why they're coming back is because the people of Montana so graciously welcomed them that they so loved their experience in Montana. I mean, they had backcountry pilots flying them up into the backcountry. They had, you know, the S Ranch took them out on the S Ranch out on there and showed them an incredible time. They were treated so well, and they don't get that kind of treatment. Let's just say in Seattle, and it's no secret.
No, well, I'm originally from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And we're surrounded, you know, we've got Dover Air Force Base, Andrews, you know, all the military camps around. And, so at least when I was growing up, I haven't been back there since 89 is when I moved, but we were always definitely pro-military. I just can't imagine people that aren't. I'm sorry. You know, if it wasn't for them, you know, we'd be in deep trouble.
Well, and yeah, it's, I've seen it since I was a kid in the 80s, because when I was a kid in the 80s, you know, we had fighter jets and on t-shirts and American flags on t-shirts, and Ronald Reagan was our president, and we watched, I watched Top Gun as a little kid, and so you've seen this, you know, just like we see Trump derangement syndrome today, we've seen a military derangement syndrome by the left since I was a kid in the 80s, and they've been they were sympathizers to the Soviet communists, just like they're sympathizers with Antifa and Hamas today. They're just nuts. It's just knee-jerk anti-Americanism. They just want to think that their own country is bad. Their own country is the enemy.
I know, and that's sad. It really is sad, because I'm 74, and it's really sad that people have come to that. It's just like, you know, because a friend of mine years ago when I was working with her made a comment when they were when they bombed Iraq. And she was saying something about, you know, we shouldn't do it. I said, well, when they show up on your doorstep, are you going to be able to speak Arabic? Because that's what's going to happen. You know, and he was just offended.
Yeah, if they don't chop your head off first after doing unthinkable other things to women and children. Hey, Diane, that was a great phone call. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay.
Thanks for listening Yeah, you too. Thanks for listening to KINX. Back with your phone calls and more after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
As Congress prepares for its August recess, many farmers and ranchers are still asking, will a farm bill be passed soon? Well, last week, House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania says the farm bill is halfway done, as version 1.0, as he called it, was approved in the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Well, we have a farm bill now. We did it in two divisions this time, but it's still a great farm bill. In fact, it's the best farm bill ever. We took advantage of what was happening in Congress, seized the opportunity, and which really allowed us to make some of the greatest investments in agriculture in generations. So the two divisions, we did what I call Farm Bill 1.0, was a part of the Big Beautiful Bill, and Farm Bill 2.0 we're currently working on. Be less controversial, more affordable. Should be strongly bipartisan. I'm hoping to see a markup out of committee maybe by the end of September.
And that end of September goal also coincides with the expiration of the current extension of the 2018 Farm Bill, in which a majority of USDA programs are currently operating under. That's a look at our ag news. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Real quick on this whole trade deal. Yeah, Frances in Big Fork, she started off the hour by saying, did you hear about this big deal? And at first I was going to be like, well, which one? Because President Trump is delivering so much. And of course, she quickly referred to the big trade deal between the United States and the European Union that President Trump basically brokered and they announced last night. The European Union... Well, let me give you the Fox News radio story that caught my eye earlier this morning. President Trump is meeting UK Prime Minister Starmer in Scotland this morning, hinting that he might revisit the existing US-UK trade deal just one day after downplaying any deal with the EU. Trump returned triumphant with what he called, quote, probably the biggest deal ever reached, secured alongside EU's commission president. Under the agreement, the EU will buy $750 billion in U.S. energy, invest another $600 billion into the U.S. economy, and expand purchases of American military equipment. I saw Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins also says there's very good news in this EU trade deal for American agriculture as well. But the other point that Francis and Big Fork started the show by pointing out is that President Trump agreed to lower our tariff against them. And apparently they have also made an agreement as well. Here's the key line here. Both sides agreed to a 15% across the board tariff. Sounds like fair trade, right? Now, I know many of you would like to see zero tariffs. Zero tariffs from them, zero tariffs from us. But if they want to tariff us, Trump is saying we're going to tariff you. So both sides agreed to a 15% across-the-board tariff. And that's kind of where I was coming from with Francis and Big Fork is like, you get some of these virtue signalers out there who are really just never Trumpers, or who are sold out to the foreign, you know, communist Chinese, etc. They claim that they don't like tariffs. Oh, we hate tariffs. No, you don't. You love tariffs when China is tariffing us. You love tariffs when the Europeans are tariffing us. You love it when the Europeans are blocking American beef. If you didn't, you would be joining up with President Trump to tear down these barriers. All right, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Greg in Great Falls. Greg, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Aaron. I just want to talk about Tacoma, Washington. I was stationed there from 72 through 74, and it was 1970, 69, 70, 71. It got so bad in Tacoma where there was so much military bias, I mean, even with the businesses and stuff, that the commanders of Fort Lewis and McCord restricted base personnel from going downtown and buying anything. And it had such an economic impact on Tacoma that they finally relented and they started welcoming in, you know, and being really nice and stuff with the military. And it had a big impact. And that's something that they may need to implement, you know, at some of these places and around these areas and stuff, is re-implement restrictions from the commanders and stuff.
Yeah, and so that was going back to the 70s. And so I think what happened with the American left was that they combined opposition, they turned opposition to the Vietnam War into opposition to the troops and opposition to the military. And then that started to become baked into their cake of the Democrat Party left, just anti-military and anti-defense spending, et cetera. Unless, of course, you're just giving all the money to another country. Then all of a sudden they love military spending when the military spending is just simply being handed over to another country. But, yeah, that certainly happened, combined with their sympathies for the communists and the socialists. You know, Bernie Sanders went on his honeymoon in the USSR. Tampon Tim Walz from Minnesota. How many communist Chinese-funded trips did that guy do to China? And so they have had sympathy for the communists. At the same time, they bash America. Greg, thanks for the call. Yeah, very interesting to hear that. Because, like I say, I haven't spent too much time in Seattle. Although I did spend a little bit of time one summer at Fort Lewis. So we had some good training there when I was a ROTC cadet one summer. Beautiful view when we were we were flying around in a helicopter, and then those ant hills. Those ant hills are crazy. They're like something out of like the Brazilian rainforest. The massive ant hills and the trails that those ants will leave behind. You got to watch out for those when you're setting up your patrol base, don't you? Let's see. Got a message here from, before I get to our next caller. I got a message here from Rye Tharp with KMMR Radio in Malta. Great to hear from Rye. Man, Malta, you guys, it's just been crazy in Malta lately. First, you had the big fire that went right up to your backyard. And then they had some bad flooding over the weekend in both Havre and in Malta. And so, last week I was telling you how they were raising money to buy a new backup generator for the radio station. And, man, they were putting their generator, they were maxing out their generator over the weekend because of the flooding. I guess the underpass was totally flooded out and everything because all the flooding that was taking place. But anyway, Rye, I think at Francis in Big Fork, we were talking about, she covered so many things. We were talking about young people and the demographic challenge facing not just America, but facing Montana in particular. And I shared the numbers from former Democrat lawmaker Danny Tenenbaum. And then I shared the three M's that Charlie Kirk was talking about over the weekend on Fox and Friends. He's encouraging young people all across the country about the three M's: marriage, mating, and mortgages. And that's where Rye's message comes in. He's got a great message here. People can't afford kids or families or homes anymore with the price of everything up. I think once that all gets fixed, they will have those families. Yeah, right. You nailed it there. This is why I think President Trump is spot on when he is calling out Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, who is artificially holding these interest rates up way too high. I think that is what is really holding our economy back right now. And more importantly, holding back young people from getting into the home of their dreams. And that's why President Trump has got to continue throttling down on Jerome Powell and what he is doing to our economy right now. And then the inflation, I mean, Trump has been tackling that in a big way. I mean, it just skyrocketed so much under the 4 years of Joe Biden and John Tester Trump has stopped the bleeding. But, man, yeah, still more needs to be done, right? Speaking of Generation Z, so I won't play the montage for you because I know we're getting short on time here, and I want to get to a few more callers here before we run out of time, including Joyce and Bozeman here in just a second. But if you guys missed it, they had this montage. So the Democrats have lost Generation Z, so they're trying to recapture Generation Z. But they failed miserably. They had some guy with a panda head on talking to the empty crowd. They had Nancy Pelosi speak. Yeah, because she's going to bring young people on board. The young people they did have were lecturing people about their pronouns and still pushing the radical transgender agenda. But Charlie Kirk talked about something else that was missing from their Generation Z event.
Well, and also, you look at all the B-roll there from the Democrat event. Where's the patriotism? Where's the American flag? Where's the Americana?
What's it about?
I mean, again, you got David Hogg there, you know, the American symbol of masculinity, giving some speech about how they're losing young men. It's fine. You know, more power to them. I want them to keep on doing this. By the way, if you look at the picture, there's like 300 people. I mean, one of our breakout sessions was that size just a couple weeks ago. But it goes to show Democrats are losing young people in major numbers.
You bring up such a great point about patriotism. I remember touring a school recently, trying to, or not recently, but a few years ago, trying to find the right school for my kid. And I went to a public school, and they had this tiny American flag in front of the principal's office. And then they had this giant LGBTQ rainbow flag. And I thought, you know, forget the politics behind gay, straight, whatever. You can't unite people around that flag. You can unite people around the American flag, which is, I think, what you've done. It's not just young people that they're losing. The entire party seems to be having an identity crisis.
All right. Now, if you kept playing that clip for a couple minutes longer, you would hear Charlie Kirk go back to the three M's and talk about affordable housing and mortgages, et cetera. And it's how it's not just the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates too high. The thing he says he hears at campus after campus from young people all across the country is, what are we going to do about BlackRock buying all the housing and being able to outbid everybody else like us?
When we have...
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, by the way, that generator that I was talking about for KMMR Radio, they still need a big new backup generator. If anybody is generous enough to get a hold of them and donate to the cause. The generator they were using over the weekend was, I think that was Rye's personal one, Frank was telling me. It was just a little one in the back of his pickup. So if there's a, you know, some Malta alumni out there that could be so generous, as you often are, great way to help your community out by helping the KMMR get that new generator. All right, into the phone lines we go once again. We've got, let me go to the right message bar here. Joyce in Bozeman. Joyce, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. What's on my mind is my husband was reading, so this is secondhand knowledge, my husband read it, that due to the data centers in Montana, that Northwestern Energy has increased their rates. I mean, I know that we got over $100 increase in our monthly rate. And I'm wondering, do you have any idea if that's the reason, these data centers?
Well, that's a good question. Well, so I know they're... If I understand it, the major data centers that they're looking to potentially partner with are not online yet. For example, this actually ties in with a story that I was looking to talk about this hour. So they're looking for a new location for the Montana Women's Prison. It's currently in Billings. They talked about placing it in Billings. They talked about placing it in Butte. And it's interesting, Butte doesn't want it. I talked with the chief executive. I read some other news articles, and there's a lot of city leaders in Butte that are like, nah, we're good. We don't need those union jobs. We don't need that government building because we're you know, the economy's strong, so strong now under Governor Gianforte and the Republican legislature that they're seeing private sector opportunities. And one of their big opportunities they're looking at right now is a data center that could be worth $1 to $4 billion. Now, maybe Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar is still listening to this show, but as I understand it, the reason why Northwestern Energy has had to raise their rates is because they've become too reliant on unreliable power. They were forced to invest too heavily into this green energy scam, wind and solar, et cetera. And the reality is we need more coal, we need more natural gas, and so they've had to ramp up reliable production to make up for the unreliable production. And not only that, but electricity inflation, energy inflation alone under the 4 years of the Biden regime went up 30% across the entire country. So it's a problem that's hit the entire country, you know, this push to rely on more unreliable energy. That being said, though, I think, you know, I think they're also seeing that they, like everybody else, needs to ramp up their electricity production because of data centers and more. So there's definitely something to that angle, right?
Well, I guess I might ask, are there data centers in Montana? I'm certain that there are.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah. Like there's a great one in Billings that actually is Montana owned, and you know they it's a data center that just provides data security. So like if you're a hospital and you want to protect your records, it's a secure facility, things like that. But yeah, the reality is we as a country just simply need more electricity. Because, like, here's the way I look at it, Joyce. The way I look at it is okay, the Keystone XL pipeline. If the Keystone XL pipeline would have been built, it would have required electricity as well, because you would have need electricity to power, what do they call them, pump stations, you know, because you've got to help, you have to provide electricity. Yeah, so... The electric cooperatives, and of course, they're sponsors of this show, et cetera, so you hear their messages. The electric co-ops in those eastern Montana counties really wanted the new business, because what they say is the new business helps them keep down the costs for their existing customers. So if they had, the Keystone Pipeline money coming in, they can keep down the electric costs for their farmers, their ranchers, their small businesses, their individuals that live out, out in co-op country, right? So in theory, the same could apply, although Northwestern's a little different than the co-ops, of course. But in theory, the same thing could apply, that if we have more business, if we have more power production, that could also keep rates down. But you have to be able to invest and build the production in the first place. And so do we just not build data centers? Do we just not, do we let China take the lead on AI for national security and for the economy?
No,
we can't do that. So we've got to ramp up our reliable power supply, which is what the Trump team is working to do right now.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. While I'm sitting here thinking, I'm thinking, okay, supply and demand is what drives cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if data centers are eating up all the supply, it's going to cost the residential customers more. Does that make sense?
Well, or to take it back, what Diane in Lewistown said about the liberals in Olympia against nuclear. They were against nuclear submarines. I'll guarantee you this.
I'm not against it at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. But I'm just making a point. I'm just making the point that those leftists in Olympia are probably begging for nuclear power right now, because if you care about carbon emissions or whatever, nuclear power is the answer and the only way we're truly going to meet the demands of AI and for the United States to lead in that category. It's coal, it's natural gas, and it's nuclear. Wyoming is throttling down on nuclear right now. And so all the people that were protesting nuclear in the 70s are now the ones begging for it for their Silicon Valley buddies and tech bros, right? All right, great phone call. Thanks, Joyce. Rusty.